Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. We begin with Clix, which is still growing, but not really by enough to justify its valuation. Clix is quite an anomaly in our market, with a heavy tilt towards international investors on its shareholder register. One can only wonder what their views are on the state of not just the South African consumer, but the cost pressures being faced by all of our local retailers. Thank you, Eskom. Now, don't get me wrong, Clix has a lot going for it. There are now over 10 million club card members, and they are buying sorbet, that's Clix, not the club card members, which I think creates interesting store-in-store opportunities if Clix is brave enough to innovate with their stores. The wholesale business is struggling, though, and retail turnover isn't exactly shooting the lights out either. Adjusted headline earnings per share, and in this case, I think the adjustments are reasonable, is up by 10.2%. But the dividend, unfortunately, is based on unadjusted headline earnings per share, and that is up by just 2.8%. So the cash return for shareholders is not growing nearly quickly enough. It is the furthest thing from exciting, much like the five-year share price performance of around 22% in total. Unfortunately, you would probably have been better off investing in fixed deposits over the past 5 years than shares in Clix. This is what happens when a valuation is just too high. If you bought a TV recently, you are one of the few who is in a position to do that. New World has released interim results, and this appliances distribution business is not having a happy time of things. Revenue fell by 15.7% for the 6 months to February, with South African sales down by 26.3%. One of the categories that suffered the most was televisions, with the companies putting that blame squarely on Eskom. And I can fully understand that, because load shedding obviously does knock the case for buying a new TV. I cannot help but think about the read-through for MultiChoice here. When trying to get through a month, DStv becomes a very easy expense to cut if there's no power for half that evening anyway. These are dark times, literally. It was a big week for Purple Group, with good news followed by bad news. If you still just apply some common sense to the world around you, then the bad news actually won't be much of a shock when it comes out of companies like these. Common sense is sadly not that common, as the old joke goes. I'll start with the good news at least, which is a deal in the Philippines that opens the door to 70 million Filipinos. That's more than the population of South Africa. Through GCash, Easy Equities can give these mobile wallet customers the opportunity to invest in US stocks. Now, obviously, having access to customers and converting them are two different things, and it's going to take a lot of time here to get regulatory approvals. But Purple does have a good track record in partnerships, and to be honest, when you're getting 70 million people, you don't need the biggest conversion percentage in the world to actually move the dial. They will need every bit of that dial to move, because pain in equity markets has taken the group into a loss-making position for the interim period. Retail investors are struggling to deal with inflation, and that means that they have less money available at the end of the month for investments. Combine that with poor equity returns and human nature, which demands immediate returns rather than a patient approach, and you have a perfect storm for Purple and the Easy Equities business. This is where the real test begins for those who believe in the business model. Old hands in the market will tell you that the right time to buy is when all the bulls have left the room. Let's see what happens to the share price in coming weeks, and whether those who truly believe in the long-term story of Purple will double up or run away. At least Purple Group has an underlying strategy that points towards growth. Spare a thought here for Cashbuild, a victim of a consumer environment that is incredibly low on affordability and confidence. People are not building new rooms for their houses. What is the point of having another room that is dark for half the night? Instead, they are investing in solar or just paying down their debts, to be honest. None of this helps Cashbuild whatsoever, which is why revenue is down 9% in the third quarter and 6% over the nine-month period. I'm genuinely not sure what Cashbuild can actually do to stop the bleeding here. You just do not want to be in consumer durables in this environment, and sometimes you need to just close your eyes and weather the storm. Let's deal with some good news now after all of that bad news. Oceana is incredibly unpredictable to forecast, but the company has at least put in a huge HEPS performance for the 6 months to March. HEPS will significantly more than double, up by between 127% and 147%. You can thank international pricing for seafood products for that, along with demand for canned fish and higher inventory levels overall. Although there were inflationary cost pressures, the good news clearly outweighed those struggles in this period at least. Good luck forecasting the next one for this business. Here's some more good news, courtesy of Raubex. HEPS for the year ended February will be between 25% and 35% higher, a lovely result in this environment. Even more unusually, there's a good story coming out of the investment in Australia, the business which contributes 20% to Raubex's group operating profit. Now, there are not a lot of South African companies that have a good news story to tell you from Australia. But perhaps you'll really need to sit down now, because the best news is actually coming from a project in Zimbabwe of all places. The Beitbridge Border Post project was awarded at the end of 2020, and this has been a major contributor. It's also worth highlighting that the company sounds happy with the acquisition of Bauba Resources, where the turnaround strategy is working out well. I just love, or is that perhaps hate, the irony in the construction materials business. Load shedding is affecting operations negatively, yet there's also a negative impact from the slow rollout of IPP renewable energy projects. So what should be a natural hedge there is actually just a double whammy of pain. And in another excellent example of the public sector hurting us, it's now taken so long that Raubex has chosen to shift its focus to the private sector instead. In South Africa, we tend to solve our own problems. In the commodities sector, we saw a flurry of updates at the end of last week. BHP Group was perhaps the most interesting, noting that conversations with customers in India and China are showing great signs for commodity demand. That is very, very good news for South Africa. And goodness knows we will need this, especially if Transnet can continue the improvement that was highlighted in updates from Afrimat and Sasol. Again, good news, and it needs to continue. BHP, Glencore, Merafe and Sasol released mostly positive production updates, managing to successfully navigate tough conditions. The same unfortunately cannot be said for Royal Bafokeng Platinum, where stale drift is having a significant negative impact on the story. Royal Bafokeng's 4E metals in concentrate production fell by 1.5%, and the cash operating cost per 4E ounce jumped by a horrible 22.1%. Mining groups just cannot afford to have production issues during an inflationary period. It causes huge problems. I end off with banking and a quarterly update from Standard Bank that looks incredibly positive. The actual earnings growth number of 28% year on year is positively skewed by the timing of the Liberty deal, and unfortunately Standard Bank doesn't give us the growth number excluding Liberty. Still, the overall narrative is very strong around interest rates and demand for debt, as well as trading revenue, because markets seem to have delivered more opportunities in the latest quarter. The credit loss ratio was closer to the upper end of the through-the-cycle target, something that I think we will be seeing from most of the banks in this environment. And if interest rates keep on rising, then at some point, the banks are going to breach the upper bound of the through-the-cycle target range for the credit loss ratio. But for now at least, banking continues to do very well. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.